This is the story of a ragtag bunch of church members who set out to perform a Christmas play, and the director, who tried his hardest to just keep it all together. The Glory of Christmas.
There's a little bit of controversy over my choice to cast Tony as the wise man in our church nativity play, because, well, Tony can sometimes be...
Yep, that's some good birch.
Birch? Why would they use birch? It's not even indigenous to Israel.
Tony's just a little bit of a know-it-all.
Dedication not even cross your mind?
That's probably birch.
Potato salad is of German origin, brought over here by European settlers. You know, fascinating point. The carb load on that is 37 grams. Great for marathon runners.
There's no doubt that Tony knows a lot of useless facts. But when he doesn't know something?
Now, of all the wise men's gifts, myrrh was the most profound. He's used to prepare a body for burial.
What does real myrrh smell like?
I imagine it has like a lush floral scent.
Nah, it's woodsy. Warm, aromatic, musky.
Oh, my mom leads the essential oils small group.
But there's a certain something about Tony. Something that he doesn't even see about himself.
Put your shoulder into it so it doesn't strip the head.
That's like...
Hey, well done. That's good. Good job.
Tony has the kind of heart that understands where the real treasures are. What they are, who they are. And he understands the King of Kings came first as the lowly servant.
This baby, this beautiful gift, this is the glory of God, the glory of Christmas, who would eventually sacrifice himself for us. For me, well, let's just say, with that kind of knowledge, you can never approach the manger quite the same way again.
That's why he's the wise man.
I'm hoping that the Glory of Christmas videos that we've been watching during this Advent season, I hope they have been helpful for you, as they have been for me, in trying to look at a familiar story, familiar characters from the Christmas story, and gain new insight. Today's video, focusing on Tony, the gentleman that's cast as the wise man, we went from seeing Tony as someone who was a bit of a know-it-all, to seeing that he really did understand what was really important in life, what the true treasures are, and what true wisdom is. Specifically, he talked about his reflection upon Jesus and understanding that the knowledge of who Jesus is, who this child is, and what Jesus would do for each of us, that knowledge changes the way that we approach the manger. Today, we're going to be looking at Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12, and the familiar story of the Magi, the wise men. And as they come bearing their gifts to Jesus, it's a story we've heard, and what's been fascinating over the last week, the story has been making the news, recent news. There have been stories about the Christmas star of 2020. And talking about the fact that astronomers have often referred to the experience when two planets come close together to appear to be one bright star in the sky, astronomers often referred to that as the Christmas star. On December 21st, if the sky is clear, and depending on where we're at, we're not sure this far north, if we'll be able to see it, it'll be pretty low on the horizon. But it's my understanding and what I've been reading is that Jupiter and Saturn will appear as close as they have been for many, many years. And it'll give the appearance of a bright single star in the sky. Some astronomers suggest that it wasn't Jupiter and Saturn, but what could have been a natural explanation for a supernatural work of God and the angel that led the Magi to Bethlehem would have been the possibility of Venus and Jupiter 2,000 years ago. You know, I was just reflecting on all the news and everything, especially as challenging as 2020 has been, I just appreciate the fact that the story of the wise men is making the news. And I hope and I pray that as people, if they see that bright star, well, it's not really a star, but if they see this Christmas star on the 21st, it might remind people of the story of the wise men who traveled to see the baby Jesus. As we reflect on this story, I'd like to just read the scripture and just take a moment to reflect on some of the simple truths. There's a lot we can unpack here, but I really want to zero in on focusing on two key themes, the treasure and wisdom. Let's read Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it arose before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. As I mentioned in talking about the news of the 2020 Christmas star, I realize it's very clear that, I mean, while many will try to find a natural explanation, and it's very possible that what these wise men first saw before they left their home was some occurrence in the sky. But when you read this account, it's very clear that God is leading this group of wise men to find the child, because it leads them to the specific place, the exact place where Jesus rests. But while we reflect on this incredible story, I want us to just focus on two key themes that I think the video that we watched is helpful in reminding us of. But there are two key themes that in any of the retellings of the story of the wise men, we often hear these themes. And that's the issue of treasure and wisdom. The Magi, these wise men, they come bearing gifts. They come bearing treasure, expensive gifts, expensive items that they come to bear and to give to this newborn king. But we also see that these individuals, the Magi, are referred to as the wise men. And we understand that the wise men are individuals who have been trained. They're scholars. There's great wisdom. And yet they see and they demonstrate what true wisdom looks like in that they come searching for the Christ child. Let's look at this for a moment. The issue of treasure, what's really important, what really are the things that we treasure in this life. The issue of real treasure, we see that in the character Tony in our video. Tony, again, you see the different scenes where he's a bit of a know-it-all, and throughout this series, the last few weeks, you see him often throwing in tidbits of information that seem irrelevant. Tony seems to be someone that might be really good to have on your trivia team, but might come across as obnoxious at times with his knowing all these random facts. But, you know, as we watched the video, we saw that Tony understood real treasure. He understood the things that were really important in life. Joel, the director, said that Tony has the kind of heart that understands where real treasures are and what they are and who they are. And he understands that the King of Kings came first as a lowly servant. You saw in the video these acts of compassion where he saw the importance of relationship, the importance of service, and in his final moments, you hear his reflection on of understanding the greatest treasure of the Christmas story and the gift of Jesus Christ. You know, as I think about this lesson from the video and Tony and his realizing what really was important in life, I hope and I pray that for my own life and for those of you who are listening, that 2020, this year that has been so challenging, I hope that it might help us sort out in our own life what is really important. What are the things that are really worthy of treasuring? Our family. I know many of you are struggling with, even in this moment, the struggle of whether you're going to be with family or not be with family, and whether you're making any modifications to your plans. It's the not being able to gather with people is something that reminds us of just how important our family and friends really are. Our loved ones, we care about them. We want to be spending time with them. And we see, I think when we reflect on this year, we're going to start seeing some of those things. The things that we maybe were missing, things that we took for granted, that we might find ourselves realizing just how important those treasures are in our life. But you know, in Tony's example of service, of being a servant, also reminds us that Jesus came to serve. And it reminds us during this time where people are hurting, where they're struggling, where they're lonely, that one of the greatest treasures we can embrace this Christmas is the treasure of service. Of being a servant to others, looking and having ears to hear and eyes to see the need around us so that we can truly be a help and a servant to those in need. But Tony reminded us more than anything else in this video that the greatest treasure is embracing Jesus Christ, the first and most important gift of Christmas. We see in the story of reading in Matthew 2, we see that these wise men, the Magi, they were seeking a treasure. And they had traveled, some suspect it was a 40-day journey, traveling some 800 miles, all in search of this child who would be born king of Israel. They were seeking a treasure. They were seeking the baby Jesus, who they knew to be Israel's king and Messiah. But they not only were they on this search for the treasure, they were carrying treasures. They were carrying gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gold is a gift that was fit for a king. The frankincense would be something that would be like what's used in many Christian traditions even today, the idea of incense in worship. It would have been something that would have been used in ceremonial worship. The myrrh might be a little more troubling. While myrrh could be used as an incense, it was often used, and we know later in the gospel accounts that it was used along with the spices and other fragrances to anoint Jesus' body for burial. The gift of myrrh, while valuable, would have pointed to the gift of Jesus as a sacrificial gift, the one that Jesus would lay down his life for each of us. All of these gifts together would have been worth a sum of money that Mary and Joseph would not have had at their disposal. And many suspect that these gifts would have provided the resources for Mary and Joseph to make the flight to Egypt that we see in the verses that follow this section. God provided for them because of the value of these gifts. But even when you look at the value of these gifts, these treasures that the wise men were carrying, we're reminded in this story that the greatest treasure, the true treasure, was this child whom received these gifts. That the wise men laid these gifts at the feet of Jesus at the manger. We look at this account, we see that the wise men are giving these gifts to Jesus. It reminds us that the true treasure of Christmas is Jesus himself. But it also reminds us, when we think about the wise men, we're reminded in this story about what true wisdom really is. We understand that the Magi, the wise men, were individuals coming from the east, from Persia, the Babylon, and they would have been scholars. They would have known history. They were aware of Israel's history, and they were aware of the prophecies of a king who would come to be the Messiah. We know that these wise men had studied the stars, and they came to know that a child would be born, king of Israel, and they sought out to find him. These men, represented as wise men, give us a picture of true wisdom, that they come and they recognize Jesus, and they bow at his feet. And they worship. Our wise men in the skit demonstrated true wisdom in his own words and what he shared at the end of the video. He explained that, you know, while he understood all these bits of information and it was kind of annoying and the little details that he knew, at the end of the video, he talked about true wisdom. He said this. He said, "This baby, this beautiful gift, the glory of Christmas, who would eventually sacrifice himself for us. With that kind of knowledge, you can never approach the manger the same again. With that kind of knowledge, you can never approach the manger in the same way again." Tony, the character in our video, understood the importance of recognizing the truth of who Jesus was and believing and putting his faith in Jesus, and it changes the way you approach the Christmas story. I want to ask you, how do you approach the manger? And even as I've referred to the wise men and everyone gathered at the manger, we know if we read the account that the wise men actually arrive later in the story. But the nativity that we have in front of us here, most of the nativities have the wise men included at the manger, and it's not as critical that we understand that time frame as we understand the significance of the wise men in their pursuit, their seeking out Jesus, and what happens in this moment where they bear their gifts and they bow and they worship Jesus. When we come to a place of understanding the true wisdom, of understanding who Jesus is, and putting our faith and trust in him, it changes the way that we approach the Christmas story. It changes the way that we approach the manger. I want to ask you, how do you approach the Christmas story? How do you approach the manger in your own life? Do you understand that this baby was no ordinary child, that he is the Son of God, that he is Emmanuel, God with us? Do you understand that this baby would live a perfect life, a life that we couldn't live? He would live a perfect life, and then he would lay down his life upon the cross for you and for me, paying the penalty for our sin. Do you understand that this same Jesus, after he died, rose again in 3 days, conquering death and giving those who have put their faith and trust in him, giving us the hope of eternal life? Do you believe this? Have you come to a point in your life that you've bowed before Jesus, recognizing him not only as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, but have you come to a point of bowing before him and recognizing him as your King, as your Lord? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus to know that your sins are forgiven? Have you put your faith and trust in him and received the gift of eternal life? Tony had this kind of knowledge. And we can never approach, as Tony said, he said, knowing this about Jesus, who this child was, it changed the way that he approached the manger. And I hope and I pray that each person listening and watching in this service, I pray that you've come to a place of understanding who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. He came as an infant, frail and helpless, to live a perfect life, to be the perfect sacrifice who would give his life on the cross for each of us. But the grave could not keep him. That 3 days later, this same Jesus rose again, and he later ascended to heaven, and he gives us the promise and the hope that when we believe in Jesus, when we put our faith and trust in him, we can not only know that our sins are forgiven, we can know Jesus' presence in our lives as we put our trust in him. We trust him as Lord. We trust him as our Savior. And we walk with him each day, letting God's Spirit lead us and guide us. When we enter into a living relationship with Jesus, it changes the way that we approach the Christmas story. It changes the way that we approach the manger. God's Word tells us that there's a day coming that all people will recognize Jesus as Lord. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, while God tells us that there's a day that everyone will recognize, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. What an incredible privilege to know that we don't have to wait for that day. We can choose now in our life each day to recognize Jesus as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Emmanuel, God with us, and that Jesus came as a child to live a perfect life, to give his life for us, and that he not only died, he conquered death. We approach the manger story and the Christmas story, we have to also remember Easter and the full picture of who Jesus is and all that he has done for us. And it's my prayer for you this Christmas season that if you're listening, if you're watching, and you've never come to a place of putting your trust in Jesus, that you would make the choice even today to thank Jesus for what he has done for you, to receive the gift of forgiveness that only he can give you, and that you would surrender your life, that you would not only put your trust in Jesus, but that you would surrender and embrace Jesus as your Lord and your King. When we choose to surrender our life to Christ, when we put our faith and trust in him, it changes the way we approach the manger. It changes our life, and it gives us a hope for our future. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful, Lord, to be reminded of just the simple and yet profound story of Christmas. Sometimes we hear the story so often, or we hear these details, and we fail to pause and reflect upon the significance. Lord, I pray for each person listening and watching right now. I pray that each of them would have come to a point in their life, in their heart, that they would have put their faith and their trust in you, Jesus. We thank you that you not only came as a child, but that you laid down your life, that you gave your life freely, and that when we put our faith and trust upon you and the fact that you not only died for us, you carried our sin upon the cross and you conquered death, you rose again, and you offer us new life. Lord, I pray that we each would just renew within our own hearts and our own lives in this Christmas season, our trust in you as Savior and as Lord. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would even prompt in the hearts of those listening, those watching even now, if they need to surrender their heart and their life to you, that even in this moment, that they would pause and just say, Jesus, thank you Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I receive your gift of forgiveness. I receive your gift of eternal life. I invite you to come into my heart and my life and lead me. I embrace you as Savior and King. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.